Thank you very much. And it is a great privilege to speak unto you this morning. Yes, our regular members, but especially to the young people that have come. My thoughts possibly was, well, this is Randy's program. Let's let him speak to him. I said, no, not this time, because I want to. I mean, Randy probably would have been prepared, but I wanted to. I want to talk about Christopher Columbus. Tomorrow is the day, as I understand, we celebrate Columbus Day, which is tomorrow, the 12th of October. And best I can determine, that is the day that he did set foot on America's. And then this is exactly, tomorrow will be exactly 500 years from the time that he came. I know you've heard lots of Columbus stories all year. Some alluding to how bad he was, and some looking up to him, to his strength and his desire and what he did. So I want to read in a little bit some from the Book of Mormon that's foretelling of exactly what was going to happen. And this was written back in the early days, between 500 and 600 years before Christ. So 1492, which is almost 1500, and 500 would be almost 2000, something over 2000 years before he actually came here. I want to start reading on page 33. I guess it's 34. Sorry. Well, no, I'm going back up to 33. Verse 141 on page 33. This is just prior to Columbus. And it came to pass that I beheld this great and abominable church, and I saw the devil, that he was the founder of it. And I also saw gold and silver and silks and scarlets and fine twined linen and all manner of precious clothing, and I saw many harlots. And the angel spake unto me, saying, behold, the gold, the silver, and the silks, and the scarlets, and the fine twined linen, and the precious clothing, and the harlots are the desires of this great and abominable church. This great and abominable church had been pretty famous for its wealth. And I think by and large the harlot portion has been kept kind of quiet. But stories come out from time to time of the horrible activity that did transpire in the church, at least by individuals in the church. And also for the praise of the world do they destroy the saints of God and bring them down into captivity. This was the destruction of the church, the apostles that were here. Everyone met a violent death, with the exception of John. and they can't seem to find what happened to John. I've read in the scriptures where it says, tradition says he died on the Isle of Patmos, but the body wasn't found. We who know the Book of Mormon know why the body wasn't found, because he lives. The same as the three Nephites. He was not to taste death. And it came to pass that I looked and beheld many waters, and they divided the Gentiles from the seed of thy brethren. And it came to pass that the angel said unto me, behold, the wrath of God is on the seed of thy brethren. And I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles. I guess I want to back up to that 146 verse. And it came to pass that the angel said unto me, behold, the wrath of God is upon the seed of thy brethren. Now, this would be the brother to Nephi and Jacob, the ones that would be known as the Lamanites. This would be the brother of Lemuel and Laman. And the wrath of God was upon them. And he was sending another nation to take over this country. This is what this is all about. They had been warned that this would happen if they did not remain faithful. And they did not. And I looked and beheld a man among the Gentiles, which was separated from the seed of my brethren by the many waters. And I beheld the Spirit of God, that it came down and wrought upon the man. And he went forth upon the many waters, even to the seed of my brethren, which were in the promised land. Many stories you read in the papers now will condemn Christopher Columbus as being an opportunist, or being someone that wanted to be rich. He wanted a tenth of everything he found. Well, he had his shortcomings, same as we do. But what was the true cause that he came? Was it in obedience to a spirit that stirred within him? Well, yes. That's what it says right here. The Spirit of God that came down and wrought upon the man. And he went forth among the many waters, even unto the seed of my brethren, which were the promised land. Yes, this was quite an undertaking. In 1492... three little boats, ships, Pinta, Medina, and Santa Maria. Maybe it's Santa Maria. I don't know that I have the correct pronunciation. Probably Pina instead of Panna. But pronunciation is maybe not that important. The fact that he did come as prophesied. As prophesied, as told right here, and also as prophesied in various places, that if they did not remain faithful, righteous, that they would be not swept off completely, but that they would be replaced as a nation. And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God that had brought upon other Gentiles, and they went forth out of captivity upon the many waters. Was this the next year? 2 or 3 years? No, it was some time. So we can cover quite a little area here in just one verse. or two, three verses, we can carry quite a little bit of time. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of Gentiles upon the land of promise. Now, why did the people all want to come to America? Well, they'd heard that there was good things over here, I guess. But in reality, the first ones that came almost starved to death. The Indians helped them, taught them how to grow their corn with the fish in the hill. I think you've all heard those stories in school. Maybe not. I don't know what they teach in schools now. Been a good little while since I've been in grade school, in high school. I guess grade school where you would learn this. But I would hope that they still teach somewhere near the truth. There's a song that I like very much that somewhat tells the story of the problems that they had here. And it's, "I Will Take You Home Again, Kathleen." I don't know all the words, but it's a story of a young lady that was here that got sick, and he was promising her that when spring come, he would take her home. But I believe the story is that she didn't survive. But there was many, many hardships of the people that came, the early people. So why did they want to come from their home? Why did they want to leave a comfortable home in the old country and come live in the wilderness? Because their homes were not so comfortable. Because the church that dominated the world, they didn't like the way they had to live. They wanted to go to where they could worship God freely. They wanted the freedom. This was to be a land of freedom, of liberty. Liberty to do what they wanted to do. Oh, not liberty to kill their neighbor because they wanted a neighbor's cow or something like that. But liberty and freedom to worship God as they understood that they should. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld that the wrath of God that it was upon the seed of thy brethren, and they were scattered before the Gentiles, and they were smitten. Now the Indians, as we know them, many are very upset that we are considering considering, I don't think that's a word I really meant to say, but that we are sort of adoring Christopher Columbus. Not worshiping, no sense of worshiping, but admiring the fact that he set out with his little crew to prove that the earth was round. That's what I believe that the thing that God put in his mind. to prove that the earth was round. So he was going to go around the world. I almost started to say fly. I worked too many years in the aircraft industry. Wasn't too many airplanes back in those times. They set sail looking for a country of India, where they got lots of spices and things that were of value. And they were looking for a new route to India. And when they landed and found the Lamanites, the remains, the remnants of the Lamanites, they assumed that they had found India, so they called them Indians. Therefore, we have two bunches of Indians. We have the Indians here, and then we have the East India Indians, the Indians that lives in the country of India. And I beheld that the Spirit of the Lord, that it was upon the Gentiles, that they did prosper. Here I said they almost starved to death. Yes, the first winter. But once they got their feet on the ground, they did prosper. Because what? This is a promised land. This is a land that is choice above all other lands. People that have never read the Book of Mormon, people that won't pay much attention to the Bible, but have traveled, and I'm speaking particularly of military personnel because I've worked with them for many years, and they will tell you that regardless of how great a place they go overseas, there's no place like the United States. There's no place like home. Yes, there are some joy in going to visit and live in foreign lands for a year or two or three or four. But this is a choice land. Book of Mormon tells us it is. But people that have seen the other parts of the world, and I guess I've seen a little of it, but maybe some more than some. England, France, Spain, Germany, Greece. Thessalonica, Greece. Salonica, they call it now. That's where Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Well, I could find some beauty there, but nothing like what we have here. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord that it was upon the Gentiles, and they did prosper and obtain the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful, like unto my people before they were slain. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and the power of the Lord was with them. And I beheld that their mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters and upon the land also to battle against them. Now here we have jumped from 1492 to 1775, give or take a little bit, in about three or four verses. No, 1776. When we became a nation. 1776. But in order to become a nation, we had to fight for our independence from England and from France. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon all them that were gathered together against them to battle. One of my land, two of my sea. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? One of my land, two of my sea. Paul Revere, who was to give the warning that they were ready to attack them? Where was the lanterns to be hung? In the tower of the Old North Church? We have been lucky enough to be in Boston several years ago. They're still having church in the Old North Church. I would have supposed that it brought it down 100 years ago, that there wouldn't be nothing more than a marker stone or something. But yes, the Old North Church that we read about in our history books, it does still exist. And the valiant well, I hesitate to call them an army, but I guess that's what they have to be called, that fought against the England, Great Britain, and I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles which had gone out of captivity were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. Can we give that credit to God that we won the Revolutionary War? How else could a little ragtag army have fought off a great nation like England and France? No other way they could have. Delivered by the power of God. Oh yes, they weren't all safe. Many were killed. But by the power of God, they were able to win, what shall I say, our independence or their independence? Both, of course. Their independence and our independence. Even some over 200 years now. 225 years, not quite. My math not working that good right now. 220 at least years. And it came to pass that I beheld that they did prosper in the land. And I beheld a book, and it was carried forth among them. And the angel said to me, "Knowest thou the meaning of the book?" And I said, "I know not." And he said, "Behold, it proceedeth out of the mouth of a Jew." And I, Nephi, beheld it. And I can hold it. And he said unto me, "The book which thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, which contains the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. It also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record likened to the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many." Save there are not so many. Is there not so many engravings on the plates of brass, or is there not so many writings in the book of, in the Bible? Well, I've lost my place now. And it is 163, and it is a record likened to the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they do contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. So I believe this does not contain so many. The writing upon the plates of brass is more complete. Wherefore, they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord saith unto me, "Thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of the Jew. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Therefore, these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. Now here we are, almost 600 years before Christ's time, and the word apostle shows up. There weren't any apostles till Christ's time. So how did they know about the word apostles? Well, the angel of the Lord told them. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, after this thou seest the formation of that great and abominable church, which is the most abominable above all other churches. I'd like to read that one more time. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, after this is written, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, after this thou seest the formation. When did the great and abominable church start then? After these things were written. After these things were written. Thou seest the formation of the great and abominable church, which is the most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious, and also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this have they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Some maybe wasn't quite blinded so badly. Some could see the problems within that great and abominable church. That's why they were so quick to leave their homes and to come here. I would like to try to think of some place that we might almost make a parallel of what we might do for a similar sacrifice. Yet I don't really know any place on earth that is so far away and uninhabited. Well, uninhabited probably not a good word, because it was inhabited. The Indians were here. But it seems to me it's almost like we were loading ourselves in a ship and heading for the moon to make us a new livelihood. Maybe that's not a poor example, but it seemed like it's almost that hazardous, scary. But because they wanted their freedom of religion, freedom of religion, that they came here. Wherefore thou seest that after the book hath gone forth from the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things which are taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after that these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. When did it go forth to all the nations of the Gentiles? Well, mainly after King James had it written in English, translated into English, so that we could have it. Up until that time, it was mainly read from the pulpit. And they could read when they read from the pulpit, they could read the parts they wanted, and they could leave out the parts that would condemn them. And after these plain, precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters, which thou hast seen. When did King James 15 something? Anybody know? 1611. Okay. This was after Columbus had come here, but before the main people that come to follow after. Across the many waters which thou hast seen, with the Gentiles which were gone out of captivity, and thou seest that the many plain precious things which they have taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God. And because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble, yea, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles hath gone forth out of captivity, and have been lifted up by the power of God above all other nations. Well, when did this country get lifted up above all other nations? Well, maybe when the Russian Soviet Union was dissolved. Up until that time, there were two great powers. Now, it's the United States. I don't know. Maybe this considers it way before that. But that passed through my mind. Upon the face of the land, which is choice above all other lands. Which is the land which the Lord God hath covenanted with thy father, that his seed shall not. I think I got bad. Let's start over. Which is the land which the Lord God hath covenanted with thy father, that his seed should have for the land of their inheritance, the Indians, in other words. Wherefore thou seest that the Lord God will not suffer that the Gentiles shall utterly destroy the mixture of thy seed, which is among thy brethren. Neither will he suffer that the Gentiles shall destroy the seed of thy brethren. You know, there was a time when the Indians were looked down upon horribly. A saying that only good Indian is a dead Indian, and such as that. And that was a pretty good effort to kill as many as possible. But there was no getting rid of them. God would not stand for it. The promise here is that they will not utterly destroy them. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that state of awful, this says, woundedness. in the older translations, it says wickedness, blindness. This says woundedness in the newest Book of Mormon. I have to assume that that was the word that was in the first printing of the Book of Mormon. And somewhere over the years, they figured out that blindness was equal to woundedness and changed the word to blindness. And I don't have a great problem with that, because blindness fits just as well, I believe. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in the state of awful blindness, which thou beholdest that they are in, because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church whose formation thou hast seen. Wherefore, saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, saith the Lamb of God, after that I have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father. It's this remnant here, in other words, the Indians. Wherefore, after that I have visited them in judgment, and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles. So when our forefathers came here, oh yes, there's probably some that here that have forefathers that were already here. I may have a little Indian blood myself, I'm not sure. If I do have, I certainly would be proud of it. I certainly wouldn't be ashamed of it. But they were smitten by the hand of the Gentiles. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly, because the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. When do the Gentiles have much of the gospel brought forth to them? Right here. About 1830. 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. I'm not enough of a historian to give you the exact day. I know that the church was formed as obedience to the law of the land on April 6th of 1830. However, the Book of Mormon was translated and the church was really formed somewhat prior to that, probably in 29, maybe in 28. Many of you probably can tell me more precisely the time, but the exact time is not that important. The fact that it did happen is what is important. Therefore I will manifest unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, in so much that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. Verse 184, And behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, and they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day. For they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Yea, whoso shall publish peace and shall publish tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. Well, I'm not going to be able to read anyways near what I would like to read, so I'm going to look back here a little further. Let's go back to page 41, verse 238. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, saying, Look, and I looked, and beheld a man, and he was dressed in white robe. And the angel said unto me, Behold, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. This is one that didn't find the body. This is John. Behold, he shall see and write the remainder of these things. The book of Revelation. Maybe other things besides, but particularly the book of Revelation. Yea, and also in many things which have been. Wait a minute, I think I left out a verse. And the angel said unto me, Behold, one of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, behold, he shall see and write the remainder of these things, yea, and also many things which have been. And he shall also write concerning the end of the world. Wherefore, the things which he shall write are just and true. And behold, they are written in the book which thou beheld proceeding out of the mouth of the Jew. The book that he beheld earlier. The one that came here with the people. And at the time they proceeded out of the mouth of the Jew, or at the time the book proceeded out of the mouth of the Jew, the things which are written were plain and pure and most precious and easy to the understanding of all men. And behold, the things which the apostle of the Lamb shall write are many things which thou hast seen. And behold, the remainder shalt thou see. But the things which thou shalt see hereafter thou shalt not write. For the Lord God hath ordained the apostle of the Lamb of God that he should write them. And also others which have been. Others which have been. Who all could that be? Well, the brother Jared for sure, because he saw all things. And others, I can't tell you. That's one I can tell you, but maybe there probably are others. Also others have been, to them hath he shown all things, and they have written them. And they are sealed up to come forth in their purity, according to the truth which is in the Lamb, in the own due time of the Lord, unto the house of Israel. And I, Nephi, hear and bear record that the apostle of the Lamb was John, according to the word of the angel. And behold, I, Nephi, am forbidden that I should write the remainder of the things which I saw and heard. Wherefore, the things which I have written sufficeth me. And I have not written but a small part of the things which I saw. And I bear record that I saw the things which my father saw, and the angel of the Lord did make them known unto me. And now I make an end of speaking concerning the things which I saw while I was carried away in the Spirit. And if all the things which I saw are not written, the things which I have written are true. And thus it is. Amen. I want to double back to the page 39, the 210th verse, particularly. And it came to pass that the angel spake unto me, Nephi, saying, Thou hast beheld that if the Gentiles repent, it shall be well with them. We are those Gentiles. And if we repent, it will be well with us. And when God's messenger tells us that it will be well with him, why should we have fear of the things that are coming upon the land? There's no reason for us to have fear of the things that are coming upon the land. We have reason to fear that we might fall away, that we might not be obedient, that we as individuals and as a group would draw away from the true teachings of God, of Christ, His Son, that we might not be counted worthy of our soul salvation, or that we might not be worthy of the blessings in this life. So yes, we have fear there. But of the things that are coming upon the land, because we know, we've been taught, that there's going to be perilous times. There's perilous times right now. And I don't think it's going to get better. It's only going to get worse. But we shouldn't be fearful because of it. Because it says in the Bible, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head and rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. It has been a delight, again, to reminisce, because I don't think I probably told hardly anybody anything new. Just reminisce that which you have read and heard and been preached to from time to time, of the how things were. Who was it? Ed R. Murrow, one of the news commentators, that's the way it is. And that's the way it is. That's what Nephi said, and that's the way it is. God ordained it. We shouldn't be surprised. Our only concern is our soul salvation. Our righteousness, our personal righteousness. I thank you very much. I'll let Alvin go because he has to go to preach a funeral at 1 o'clock, so there's no time. Thank you.
Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee again for this opportunity that we have had to gather together here this day and to be reminded of the importance of the prosperity of this land that we live upon, and that we will remember these things, that this is a chosen land, that we have been blessed even to be born within this land, and that we might always be thankful that we were born here, that we were had the privilege of knowing this land. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we might always remember the purposes that You have had for this land, and that it says that if we will but keep the commandments of God, that this land will always remain to be a blessed and a precious land. So I pray that we would remember these things, that we would pray for the leaders of this nation, that we might come back to that understanding. But I pray for ourselves as individuals that we would remain steadfast and strong in the gospel, whatever trial, whatever tribulation might come upon us, that we would never turn our backs upon Thee, but we would look to Thee face to face and to seek the blessings, to seek the strength that we need. We know, Heavenly Father, that the youth faces many problems and difficulties of this day, but we also know, Heavenly Father, that You have made a promise that no temptation will take us but what is common, those things that we each and every one have faced. And we pray that as the young people step out into the world, that they will remember this passage of Scripture, that they will remember that with that temptation that You will give them the way out. And I pray that You will bless them, and that You will remind them with that still small voice to bring them back unto Thee. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we depart from this place and go our several separate ways, that we might take that Spirit with us to guide us and direct us in our lives, to keep us safe, that we might carry that light that You have given us to all those that we come in contact with. These things we do pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.